Welcome back to the Life of Disney podcast. I'm your host, Zynga. On today's episode, we're going behind the launch of the highly anticipated ESPN direct-to-consumer streaming service and talking to three employees as they share the collaboration and innovation that went into this new platform and what they've learned along the way. With me today are creative director Kenna, digital video producer Two Rob, and customer relationship management coordinator Carly. So excited to have you all on. And before we get into our conversation, I want to challenge each of you to share your Disney career in 60 seconds to help our listeners get to know you. So I'm going to set a timer. I hope you all are ready.
A lot of pressure.
It is.
So now I'm going to set the timer and each of you is going to take us through how you came to ESPN, roles you've held, and maybe a favorite project or two that you love being a part of. Okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'm Rob and I'm currently on the YouTube team. I started at ESPN in 2014 during the FIFA World Cup. So I worked a lot on international digital video on the web and app. That transitioned in probably about 2017-18 to adding in ESPN FC TV. So graphics operation, remote productions, still international video, but just different capacities. And then around probably late 2017, early 2018, when Mike Foss, now one of the senior vice presidents at ESPN, he brought in live streams and podcasts and YouTube. So then I kind of fell into loving YouTube. And then from there in 2021, I've taken on the strategy behind YouTube. We've got 20 different channels now across all different sports and talent. So I'm fully on YouTube.
Wow, you did well. And he did it under 60 seconds. All right. Who wants to go next?
I can go. My name is Carly. I am a coordinator on our CRM team, which stands for Customer Relationship Management. We manage all of our one-to-one communications with consumers across email and app and web. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so sports is in my blood. Big Eagles fan, if anyone listening is a big Eagles fan. And I've always loved sports. And I studied marketing in college, always knew I wanted to dive into kind of like an analytical and creative role. And ESPN is my first job out of college. I've been with the company about a year and a half. I've worn a couple different hats on the team in that period of time. But present day, I lead all of our strategy for our onboarding. So what is that first message you receive from us when you sign up? And then cable activation, which basically means getting our cable subscribers to activate their direct-to-consumer subscription and watch in our digital platforms. And my favorite project I've worked on so far is our tournament challenge campaign of 2025. There was a period of time where I led our fantasy strategy, and that was a really fun one.
Perfect. Just a second over 60 seconds.
I'll take it.
I feel like it all balances out, right? We can share a couple seconds here and there. So my name is Kenna. I'm a creative director within Visual Storytelling, which is a part of our creative studio group. Right now, I oversee our live events and studio shows on streaming, so the artwork that represents that across platform for ESPN and Disney+. And I also am involved with anything SportsCenter, so know Mike Foss well. We cross over a lot there. And I actually got my start as an intern in 2008. While I was still in school. And then I returned shortly thereafter in that fall, finished my classes online and started as a design in the show prod group and worked through as a designer and animator over the years, got to work on a few projects such as E60, NFL Draft, a lot of SportsCenter throughout my career, and then stepped into creative oversight in about 2017 and continued with a bit of a leadership role there and have enjoyed especially stepping into the DTC space in the last year and a half or so.
Nicely done. Under 60 seconds. Y'all are like the all-star team. So it's been an exciting season for ESPN with the launch of the new direct-to-consumer platform in August. So Kenna, as the creative director at ESPN, how early on did your team start working on this project?
So we actually started on it last year. Our first big push was preparing for ESPN on Disney Plus, and because there were a few areas of artwork that needed to be shored up to make sure that we could start that transition, we started looking at a backlog of artwork in our library and also how we represent sports from a global perspective with a bit of an additional photo shoot. So our team started to form last fall, and then everything really started to ramp up as we pushed into the beginning of this year in the spring with the announcement. And looking at what we wanted to elevate in time for the launch in the fall.
Yeah, and in May, you created visuals to pair with Jimmy Pitaro's announcement of the new details about the platform. Now, what was that energy like in the room when reaching this milestone?
I mean, it was pretty incredible. Obviously, having all of that coming together and being a part of an announcement surrounded by my leadership was a really it was a great experience. And it was really one of those like once in a career kind of moments to know that we were shifting from a past experience into the future for how all of our fans were going to be able to see our content and move forward. But it was great. It was really fun.
That's awesome. And as you got, you know, further into the work supporting this project, what creative challenges did you all face designing for a streaming platform?
One of the most interesting things about creating for streaming is I absolutely took it for granted before I got involved in it. I come from more of a traditional linear broadcast background. So, you know, you're just scrolling through streaming. There's a couple pieces of artwork. You think, oh, that's pretty easy. But it's what we call scalable creative. So instead of just making one piece of artwork and necessarily versioning it for each piece, it's very intentionally made. So we might have somewhere between 15 and 25 different pieces of art just to stand up one piece of content on platform. So there's a lot that goes into that behind the scenes to make sure that we can promote it where necessary or it shows up in the right areas and kind of filling those gaps from platform to platform.
Wow. Well, we definitely appreciate all those efforts. And Carly, you joined ESPN a little more recently. What was it like jumping in immediately to a project of this complexity and magnitude?
Yeah, it was very exciting, very fast moving. I joined the company when, you know, we knew D2C was coming, but no real actionable preparation had been done yet from a CRM perspective. So I really got to see it from beginning to end of how we were going to alter our messaging and our strategy to reach these different users now that, you know, our segments have expanded of, you know, who we're trying to reach, how many types of subscriptions we're selling. And so early on in my career, being so close to a strategy was very exciting. It also allowed me to meet so many people in the business so quickly, just because we had so many more stakeholders that we were working more closely with across data and creative, and very proud of the end product and think it's, you know, great experience and great learnings that I'll be able to put towards the future.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, working in a customer relationship management, what role did your team play in preparing for the launch?
Yeah, so to coincide with direct-to-consumer launch, we built 6 net new customer journeys, we call them. So think of it as a sequence of email messaging that you receive because you fall into a certain category. So our free digital users, our ESPN Select subscribers, our ESPN Unlimited subscribers, they all receive different messaging with the goal of driving them further down the user funnel. So those journeys, we had 6 net new, and then we also had 3 or 4 others live that needed updating because our whole brand look changed. And we got to develop strategy for, you know, the frequency of that messaging. What are the different segments? How do we want to reach them? It was very important that at launch, CRM was prepared to support the launch of, you know, this large magnitude.
Absolutely. And Rob, working on the digital video production side of things, what were the considerations or activations that you worked on?
Yeah, so a lot of it on YouTube was how do we bring everything that the company is doing to drive to the direct-to-consumer product, and how do we bring that into one spot, right? So whether it's short-form video content, long-form highlights, the addition of WWE or the Rich Eisen show, for example, we were creating like custom back-end animations at the end of every single video that we have that drives to not only our YouTube portfolio and our videos, but also directly links you to that experience. So we were doing that across our, again, 20+ YouTube channels, across all linear programming that lands on the platform, in addition to all of our highlights that we have rights-wise. And then like that doesn't happen without like collaborating with the marketing teams, the social teams, the production teams. They would send us rundowns ahead of time of special guests that they might have, where we would then capitalize on that content and then find ways to promote that, whether it is in video format on YouTube. But we also have a community tab, which is basically like a Twitter or X feed. And so we were able to promote direct links into there as well.
Wow. It's so much. And like, you know, ESPN innovates across every aspect of the business, from acquiring new sports leagues to managing a massive social presence. So how does that inspire your approach to the work?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it does is it forces you to adapt and change at all times and like utilize analytics, utilize the collaboration across departments. Because I think like working in a digital and social space, like an algorithm changes all the time, right? And what works on social one day doesn't work on the next day, and having to kind of lead those activations and lead when we bring in a new sports rights acquisition or a new podcast into the network, like finding unique ways to not only meet our fans where they are, but also extend the reach and maximizing like that brand awareness on all different platforms.
Absolutely. And it was so much fun. I remember launch day and, you know, we would see all of our friends just posting. And so take us back to that day, launch day, August 21st. Carly, you're based in New York. What was the celebration like there?
Yeah, it was a day I will never forget, for sure. We walked into the office and there was, our events team did an incredible job of, there was decorations and decals everywhere, merch for everyone, some free food, which we're never going to deny. And just kind of this like excitement in everyone's bones of, we have all been working on this for so many months. And, you know, for so long, we didn't know the exact launch date and we finally got here. And there was just so much work done up until that point to get to day one. And this excitement of, we're here, but also what's next. And in terms of kind of activities of the day, I was lucky enough to go down and ride the E-train. We kind of wrapped, I guess you could say, a subway car with our ESPN branding, both outside and inside of the car, and a bunch of our executives and some of your favorite mascots. I did meet Mr. and Mrs. Met on launch day, which as a Phillies fan hurt a little bit, but I still had to take a picture with them. And the Giants band, and we just like made a ruckus on the subway and took the subway up to right by our office with our mascot Appy, which was hilarious. Watching Appy walk up the subway stairs like sideways because he was couldn't fit was hilarious. And it was just great to be able to celebrate so much hard work with all the people that, you know, worked to get there, and everyone touched the launch in a different way. And that day we kind of all came together to celebrate with so many different exciting things.
Absolutely. It was giving the best like pep rally, spiritually energy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And Rob, you're at the ESPN campus in Bristol. So tell us what memories you have from that day.
Yeah, so I normally get in around like 7:30. And when I got in there, there were people, tons of like people working on SportsCenter for You, the Verts launch, and the digital video team. Senior leaders were there saying that they have been there since 3:30 in the morning to prepare for this. So like it truly like takes a village, right? And so like it's the months and months of collaborating that lead to that day, where that day can kind of be a celebration of like, all right, it's finally launched. We can see the quirks and iron those out in real time. And you kind of put that product that all these teams have worked really well together, forward facing.
That's so wonderful. That is one thing I do absolutely enjoy, just being a part of Disney. It's like being in community with your colleagues and celebrating all these incredible achievements. That's so wonderful. And Kenna, tell us, how did it feel to finally have all of the prep work finally come to fruition?
I mean, I echo what both Carly and Rob said, that it's such a team activity. So coming to the end and being able to celebrate that with everyone, and also the milestones that got us there, because we kicked off SC for You in January or February of, you know, the first part of the year. And then we had SC Plus shortly thereafter, and Vibe Check a little bit later in the year. And all of these little things that we were working through before we even had a full understanding of exactly what the user was looking for, what's going to draw them in more. So being able to look at it and all of the study of what's going to get them in, why are we doing it, understanding the logic of it, seeing it come together and really just be a moment of celebration. I feel like the app explosion was such a great way to look at it, because that's how it felt. Everyone was so excited to see it come together, and there's so much energy behind it and shared enthusiasm that it's always just great to be a part of a project that has that much positivity. But the sheer volume of the connectivity across the company was unlike anything we've done before. So having that in tandem with the launch of our ESPN brand look and how we tag into it, it was just a really great feeling to see it all come together.
Building something entirely new, hosting all of ESPN in one place, that presents a lot of new challenges for all the teams involved, right? So how did this project push you to become more collaborative or innovative in how you do your work?
I mean, from my perspective, I did come from more of the broadcast world. So all of my acronyms, partners, terminology, build specs, it's a whole different animal. So after being in the business for 15, 16 years, and then in the room where people were saying things that I was Googling on the side and pretending like I knew what we were talking about in the moment, it's great to have that experience that you can be further in your career and still have the opportunity to learn. So I tried to listen as much as I could. I asked a lot of questions and I really leaned into the partnerships that I was gaining by stepping into this new world. There was, as always with ESPN and across Disney, wonderful people to work with that are willing to answer the questions and work through it together, because a lot of it was new. So it wasn't like we were working under existing constructs or needing to break free of something, but rather that we could lay the groundwork, and that in and of itself was very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. I think to build on that, in terms of like the learning, there were so many hurdles and things that teams ran into mutually that we almost were able to like learn off of the hurdles that others ran through and how they solved them. And I think from a CRM perspective specifically, from our, I think, biggest learning was the data. We have worked so much more closely with our data teams and also our partners across the Walt Disney Company, because they have learnings from these massive launches of Disney Plus and Hulu, and how can we take their D2C focused strategy and shift it and mold it to serve us and serve the fan, which is what we're looking to do at the end of the day.
Yeah. I echo what both of them said in regards to like, you have to kind of work in lockstep with all different departments, right? And there's so many times where I think we create really good content and it's like, well, how can we inform marketing and social and linear to get that mass promotion out there? I think this challenged that, right? And I think we were able to, whether it was the John Cena activation or Jimmy Pitaro and Burke Magnus at the New York Stock Exchange, like that being on GetUp and then that finding its way to social platforms, like any kind of way that we could create that like mass awareness and how to meet those fans on those different platforms, right? Like we did 24 billion views a couple of years ago on YouTube. How do we convert that 24 billion? I know there's not that many people in this world, but like, how do we convert a fraction of that to the direct-to-consumer experience? And how do we get them to be ESPN fans for the next 40 years to create that new and near fan?
Yeah, I just love the amount of care and intention that's put behind all of this work. You all really love your fans. This is so wonderful. And so having reached the milestone of getting the platform live, like, what are you most looking forward to in the future of all of this work?
I would say for me, is like the adaptation of the products that have been put forth already, right? Like SportsCenter for You, like what's the next iteration? Like how is it going to be more personalized to the users? What is the AI software going to be like to be able to kind of propel that even more forward facing? How does the vertical video aspect look to it? What other podcasts or shows might we acquire that will be on the experience, like a Aizen or WWE? So just like for me, it's the expansion of it. Obviously, there's tons that we have available to us, but as ESPN continues to acquire rights or it continues to acquire, new talent even, that can give birth to tons of new content opportunities.
Yeah, I think CRM has the benefit of being directly measurable in that we see how many people open something, click something, does it drive a subscription, and we can leverage that data to our advantage and iterate our journeys, our always on messaging, and even our ad hoc messaging, which ad hoc basically means you kind of send like a one off. So if we send an email for Monday Night Football for that game that night to get users to tune in, we can see where users engaging, where they may be not that interested. And we always said leading up to launch is day zero, and it's of the utmost importance that the long-term success of this product is dependent on us not taking our foot off the gas pedal and continuously setting ourselves up for success. And from a CRM perspective, that's definitely rooted in the data. And we've continued to have subsequent launches and we've continued to evolve as a result of those. And we will continue to do so to allow our messaging to work as hard for us as possible, because it is such a great lever that we can pull. We want to make sure we're doing it with the best strategic perspective that we can.
I think it's true that a lot of times we launch things and while we're preparing for it, we'll say, oh, we'll get to that post-launch. But that's really here for us. This is just the starting point. There's so much that we all have planned ahead. And I think a lot of it, even though we have a bit of a runway sometimes, it feels like it comes together quickly too. So putting ourselves in a position to really think about the long-term strategy and what we want to happen, to be intentional and to be more proactive than reactive in this space, that we're able to kind of set the tone and have other streaming platforms looking at us and saying, oh, wow, that's great. How do we get that in our area as opposed to us looking to others for that inspiration? And that's a new world for ESPN and for Disney. And we have a different type of content in ESPN than Disney does for Disney Plus, because they have a massive library of IP that they can pull from, where we can't always use the same imagery or video or representation just due to rights restrictions. So those, finding those new ways to bring in the users and really have intentional choices going forward and being that, you know, benchmark for what other areas of the business want to do, that's really what we're looking to do next.
Yeah. I mean, it's so wonderful because you all do feel like one big team and y'all like are running a marathon right now, right? And so what makes working at ESPN especially so unique?
So I would say that the most unique thing is that working at ESPN, we're all a fan, whether it's of a specific team, a player, of ESPN as a whole. And our mission is to serve sports fans. And we do that every day by speaking to what we want to see in the marketplace. And you can kind of see it in the camaraderie in the office. There's always some, you know, if the Phillies beats the Mets, I'm going up to the Mets fan and we're going to talk about it. And there's always sports conversations happening. And it's really exciting to work on something that there is so much passion for, because sports brings out the best, the worst. It brings out everything and everyone. And having that in your day to day is really exciting. We never know what a day is going to look like. And that is the exciting part, that no day is the same, because the sports world, you never know what's going to happen. And it's the best part of working here.
Exciting.
It's interesting. I mean, I am involved a lot in hiring and interviewing and just hearing other people talk about the culture of other places in the business. They always seem very excited about what we're doing here and what we have going on and some of the cross sections of things that you don't expect. Just in my background, I was able to step into the ESPYs a couple of years ago, and being on a red carpet event, something that's outside of the sports world, and kind of how we have those intersections or the crossover with, you know, some alt casts that we do with Toy Story. You know, there's things like that that you don't necessarily expect. They're not necessarily in your career journey, but being able to be a part of them is very exciting. And just, there's no way I can't double down on the passion that we're talking about here, that everybody is passionate about what they do. And they bring up different views and ideas on things that you wouldn't necessarily think of. It's such a diverse array of talents and personalities that you look any direction and you can learn something. And it's just such a great environment to be a part of.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I think, so I have a relatively unique journey. In like 2021, I left ESPN for 3 months and then came back. Like, I think what ESPN does so well is, obviously there's tons of opportunities from an employee's perspective, but also everyone else. I saw for 3 months, I saw people like, ESPN is the gold standard. ESPN is the gold standard in digital, social, marketing, everything. So when it comes to like what we're doing now, like whether it's social leading their respective space, being the number one publisher, or YouTube, what I mentioned earlier about the billions of views, like the people in front of the camera and behind the camera, like set the tone for a lot of the things that we do. And so being able to work alongside innovators and people that want to kind of be disruptors in the business to push things forward and not be stagnant and like, hey, this worked last year, this is going to work this year. Like, how do we find ways and how do we create new opportunities for people within the company and looking to be at ESPN? Like that's kind of what makes it so unique, is like, we're just the leaders in the space. And we don't get complacent in that, I don't think, from what I've noticed across the board.
I mean, I love that you actually came back. You know, it says a lot about the brand. And so with that, what's something that you've learned in your career or a piece of advice you've received that's stuck with you through the years?
Mine would be like leading by example. Like, your work ethic is important, but there was a quote, and I'll kind of read it, but it's like, being a leader isn't what you say, it's about what you do, how you live, and who you are. Like, I think as a leader telling you that, like, it's whether it's informal or informal leadership, like, you always want to kind of put your best foot forward in everything that you do, because then the project will succeed, the people around you will succeed, you will succeed. Just kind of lead with grace when it comes to that, because, like, I think some of the best things that I've learned in my career, I've made mistakes to then grow from those mistakes. So just kind of challenging, like, think outside the box and try new things.
And it's such a good point. And I just kind of adding on to that, the leading with empathy too, I think that's a big part of where we see success in our groups, is if you are conscious of others' needs and interests and willing to step in and listen to what it is that they're after, because everybody has something you can plug them into. So if you're aware of that and able to find that cross section, and then also guiding them with that structure of, they're not just listening to what you're saying, but you're actually showing it to them and the way you're approaching it, and being open, because everybody deserves the right to go to a job every day that they're being listened to and heard in their long-term goals too. And while the business is first and foremost, there's no reason people can't enjoy the journey and be seen in the process.
Yeah. And I think for me, the number one thing that I've learned since being at the company is that you have to be curious. You have to ask questions, and you have to be the shepherd of your own growth. And that's just not talking about in terms of organizational growth. It's knowledge, networking, meeting people. It's so important to learn what others do across the company. And all of those inputs are what's going to allow you to contribute in your role. And I've found that I'm the most engaged and excited when I show up to work every day and feel like I'm learning. And that natural curiosity is really going to allow you to learn more about the business and contribute, which I think is what a lot of us want to do at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what unites us all as fellow cast members, right? Walt Disney himself said it best, ideas come from curiosity. So that is such an incredible point. And so ESPN is clearly a place that embraces fandom, like you all said, and celebrates the passion of sports fans. And as sports fans yourselves, do you have any hot takes you want to share with us while you still have the mic?
Mine's more of like a lukewarm take. I'm a soccer fan, and there's always the debate, who's the GOAT, Messi or Ronaldo? I go Ronaldo, and, you know, both are right, but, you know, I'm divided in that myself.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate that. I'd say I'm kind of in the same lukewarm. I don't like to do the hot takes anymore, man. Working at ESPN, you got to be careful. If you take a full approach on something, you don't know. You can't double down on it. But I'm an F1 fan, and I love Lewis Hamilton. I just think he's an upstanding driver. And I mean, maybe it is a hot take, but I don't think that Verstappen deserved the championship. Should have been Hamilton's race. So I'd say that would be my hot take.
Nice. I've mentioned I'm an Eagles fan, which means, you know, we up in New York, we don't get a lot of love. And in this office, I do have a good number of people on my side, which I can appreciate. But I do think the Eagles are a contender this year to make a deep run, potentially into the Super Bowl. If you asked me that before the Giants win on Sunday, would I have said that? I don't know, but I have this reignited faith that it's going to be great and they're going to have a great season with Brandon Graham back, who I have such a soft spot for. He's the best. I think they can do some pretty special things. So I'm crossing my fingers for a two-peat.
Nice. Boy, see, y'all did the hot/lukewarm take. I love it.
Yeah, we're not very controversial, this group.
You know, it's keep it neutral, right? I think that's best. Is that right?
I think
that's
so.
Fair. It's fair. So one of the things that makes working at the Walt Disney Company so special are the memories that you make throughout your career. And of course, and for me, it's most importantly, it's the people that you work with. So what is a core memory from your career so far?
I think since we're talking about streaming, a standout for me is when we were prepping for the media day in May, where we were the initial launch, where Jimmy was going to talk about, here's our DTC efforts, what do the plans look like? I traveled to New York to support that and brought one of the designers on my team with me. We were going to, you know, work on the prep, maybe go out to dinner that night, just have a nice relaxing reconnect, because I'm a remote employee. So it was nice to plan for that. And then it ended up with her and I sitting with our direct leaders and then Tina Thornton. She was next to us until about midnight prepping for this presentation. And it was nothing that anyone planned, but just being in a room with everyone working towards the same thing and making all those tiny tweaks, but knowing how big of a moment it was going to be the next day when these visuals were next to Jimmy while he was talking through this groundbreaking experience. It's such a great analogy for working here, is it was nothing we had planned, but it was perfect. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was a bonding experience between peers and team leads, and then just our leadership in general, and being able to come together. And it was a great reminder of what it was all for and how great it is to feel that camaraderie in the room.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think for me, the one that sticks out is I was fortunate enough to go to our ESPNW summit in Ojai last fall. So it's funny, it's happening this week, but last year. And it's a summit all about women's sports, promotion of women's sports, supporting women's sports. What can we do to, you know, just support them because they are so important and they're such a priority. And I was able to listen to so many speakers and pioneers in the field, and just feeling the passion of that group of women was something I will never forget. I was 6 months into my role. I was, you know, you're still pretty new at that point, learning, just meeting new people, and to spend the whole week with colleagues from ESPN and people across the sports industry, it just definitely reinvigorated a passion. And as a woman who works in sports myself, it really goes to show just, you know, how much care there is and how we really truly do have an impact every single day with the things we do at ESPN on people's lives and how they experience the world of sports.
Wow, that's rich. I love that.
Mine would be, so the past 2 years, there's been a tournament called TST, which is a 7-on-7 soccer tournament in North Carolina. And Pat McAfee was like, I want to do it. So he built a team with former players and with the help of Mike Foss. And I got to help kind of production coordinate that. That's something that's entirely out of my scope. But I think to what Carly said earlier, like, you kind of are the shepherd of your career here. And like, ESPN is an oyster. And the more you can continue to network yourself, opportunities like those kind of are afforded to yourself. So like, it was just kind of cool. And it was almost like the essence of probably what ESPN was founded on, right? It's a grassroots type thing. You had celebrities end up showing up, like Chris Paul was a backer of the TBT and TST. Johnny Damon was there sponsoring a team. So like, if everyone and anyone that like loved soccer from that level was just kind of involved, and the winner of it gets $1 million. Like, so then there is that competitive nature to it. And I think like that's the essence of like what ESPN was kind of founded on. And then, you know, like just getting to see Pat and his team work together from the show perspective, and then behind the scenes of like, it's no surprise he's one of the leaders in the industry of what he does, because he connects to everybody. You know, just seeing the grace that he showed to everyone, and then connecting the connective tissue across sports was kind of put on display with that. So, yeah, it was a really cool experience.
That's fantastic. I have enjoyed this conversation so much. I mean, look, I have a lot of friends over at ESPN. Now I can say I have 3 more friends. So it's such an honor and pleasure meeting with you and chatting with you. Any other last words that you have for everyone? Because now I'm like, shoot, what does ESPN look like? I know people are like, let's go check out the job.
I mean, truly, speaking of the place to give people flowers, just shouting out my team in this. We've had a core team that's been working on this for a long time in the creative space. Rachel has been my partner in crime for 18 months. So I love to toss her out there. And then the designers on my team, we have Mary J., Heather, and Emily. And then David recently joined us. I have appreciated working with them all. And none of the art would be up on platform with all of the help from them. So thank you for allowing me to kind of toss that in there.
Yeah. And just echoing that across the marketing org, so many inputs went to this launch and late nights and big decisions. And I think we all have a lot to be proud of. And it's something I feel so excited and honored that I got to be a part of so early on in my career. So major thank you and shout out to everyone that I got to work with on all of this.
Yeah, same. I'll echo both of those. Like, shout out to everyone that we've worked with. And like, this is just the beginning of what's to come.
And speaking of new jobs, Carly, did you say you've only been working for a year and a half? You're a year and a half out of college?
Yes, I'm okay. A year and a half out of college.
Well, if you're ever looking for a job, it come my way, because holy moly, I've been doing this for 17 years and I felt like you talked me under the table. So impressive.
You're kind.
Very Thank impressive. You.
Very, very impressive.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
This is the future. And wow, I am so looking forward to what's to come now with this new experience. And I guess I will be doing an outro, but my goodness, how fun are you all?
This is great.
This is really fun. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll have to offline and do a remote, I don't know, happy hour or something.
Come to 7 Hudson. Maleficent was here today. I didn't get to see her, but like a 30-minute line to take a picture with Maleficent.
Listen, talk about the thing. You see, these things that people need to learn about working at Disney, you get to meet these characters. Like, look, I am a fool when I see Mickey. I instantly turn into a 4-year-old, but Maleficent? Oh my gosh.
Oh, I met Stitch like 2 months ago. I made a couple of my colleagues wait in line with me because I couldn't bear to like wait in line by myself to meet Stitch, but it was amazing. You never know. There's always like cupcakes and then a character. And what else could you ask for?
It's pretty exciting. I was on campus a couple weeks ago, just sitting there having coffee. TJ Oshie walked by, you don't ever really get used to that. It's just exciting to be able to be in the same space. And if it's Disney or a fandom, sport, it's great to be able to see it.
Totally. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. And if you want to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit DisneyCareers.com. We'll see you real soon. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaron Kaufman and Sarah Monier. Editing by Brandon Colon. Design and graphics by Delaney Ragnar. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group, Inc. And a special thank you to Tiffany Rivera, Riata Gold, and the ESPN teams.